Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Here's the last snap, barring a penalty. Leonard rolls to his right, throws across the middle, caught by Greathouse, down at the 40-yard line. Ohio State has won the national championship.
Sorry, Joe. Sorry.
I wore my Notre Dame hat for you today, Paul, just because I got so much grief for not wearing it after they won. I figured I should also wear it in defeat.
You got to wear your team's colors the day after a loss. I think it builds character. That's why yesterday I had some Texans gear on. Joe's wearing his Notre Dame hat. In case you guys do not know, we are both recording this show from home. You can see our fine backgrounds. People think this is my mother's basement whenever I do a live stream. Is it? It looks kind of like it. Joe's doing it from home. Sean is at Mission Control. Shout out to you staying in a hotel room so that you can run this bad boy as we deal with Snowpocalypse 2025.
Yeah, they have us put up in the penthouse across the street. Ooh. Had a nice walk through the snow this morning. Try not to slip and fall in the middle of the street. very, very cool. Very fun. Happy to be here.
Yeah, you sound really happy to be here.
Until
it's
six.
Not, happy yeah, to it's be not here us. It's not us. It's the till six part.
So, this is a lot. I'm not going to lie. As a Northerner who has been in the South for over half of my life, I hate this. I don't like it. I looked outside for a moment, and I thought to myself, okay, take a picture, put it on the gram, put it on social media. I'm done. I don't need this. I don't want to do the show from home. It's too tempting. I want to make myself food. I want to go into the other room and play with my cat. It's too much. I can't do this, Joe.
Yeah, it's a lot. I will say I did enjoy it this morning. I didn't miss the snow. I was texting some of my friends from back home, and they were telling me how it's negative 2 degrees back in Illinois. Jeez. Right now. So at least it's not that.
That's
it was fun.
Miserable.
Yeah, as a dad, it was fun to see my son see snow for the first time. My wife really seeing like this much snow for the first time was cool. So we went out. We did like the whole like playing with snowballs and everything. Realized we didn't have gloves for the little kid though.
Oh, no.
For the little guy. So we went with socks on the hands to pivot, because I was like, it's too cold. Like he's not going to handle this well. So we went socks on the hands, little snowball fight action, built a little snowman. So that was fun. But now I'm kind of, it looks nice now. I'm glad it's like,
you want to go back out. I mean, listen, there's nothing better. Father, son playing with the kid out in the snow, especially seeing as you're a Northerner. You're down here, and I saw you post this on the gram. I didn't think that the first snow see would be here, of all places.
Yeah, because we go back occasionally. I intentionally don't ever go back to see friends and family in the winter, because like I don't want to deal with that crap. Like I'm over it. That's why I'm never leaving Houston. We've been here for 10 years now. So like I don't ever want to go back to that weather. So it's nice for like 2 days. I still like can't wrap my mind around the fact that it's gonna be 70 on Sunday and there's snow on the ground.
That is weird.
It's so bizarre, but it's nice for a day or two. And then I think I'm ready for it to be over quickly.
It's nice for a moment. You're exactly right. This is why we moved down here. This is why we moved down. We are snowbirds. Call us off. Yes, I fled the north. okay? The opposite of what they were doing in the 1800s. I went down south because I wanted to be warm and not wear shirts, okay? And Hawaiian shirts when I do
wear shirts. Hawaiian shirts, yes, with flamingos on them.
So, the Natty. Ohio State wins. I do not recognize it. I do not recognize Ohio State's national title. I'm sorry. They lost to Michigan. They did not win the Big Ten. Sorry. You don't win the national title in my book. Does that make me a hater? Yes. I hate the college football playoff with 12 teams. And Joe, I'm in solidarity with you. This national title, I do not recognize it. Although I'm assuming you're recognizing it because, you know, the final score was what it was. I don't recognize it. I don't think anyone should. This is BS.
Well, the problem is, and like, I hear you, Paul. Like, I get where you're coming from. The problem is, though, is that like this is what we are. Like, this is what it is, because Texas lost to Georgia twice. Penn State didn't win the Big Ten. Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois. Ohio State lost to Michigan. You know, unless a team goes on these magical runs, and it feels like because of the playoff system now, teams like Oregon are going to have a harder time just to get through now a 12-team playoff. So. I'm not sure how often going forward, like, we're going to see these, you know, greatest teams of all time. Like, I mean, we have no idea what would have happened. We think Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and, you know, and Justin Jefferson would have, you know, run the table in the 12-team playoff, but like, we don't know. So I hear you. Like, it is weird. It does warp the mind of, like, what the national championship means because of what the regular season is. I will say, I did enjoy the 12-team playoff. Like, I don't think it's perfect, but I did enjoy it overall.
There were some fun games once we got through the first round, that's for sure. I just hate that you killed the regular season. As the kids say, you nerfed it. And does it feel right that Ohio State wins it in the same year that they lost to one of the worst Michigan teams that we've seen in a very long time? Like, they lost to last year's defending national champions when they had 6 wins at home. So, to me, this is not even me hating on Ohio State. I find Ohio State fans to be insufferable. But no, it's about, like, what you did in the regular season does not merit you getting to hold up whatever they do now instead of the crystal ball. I just think that if you lost to your arch rival and you didn't even make it to the conference championship game, and Oregon wins it, which is weird. And Oregon, you know, obviously they took care of business against Oregon in the actual college football playoff, but Oregon had beat you in the regular season as well. That's what I can't get past. This used to separate college from the NFL. The NFL is supposed to be a crapshoot, but college, I used to like that a game in October meant a lot, and sure, I'm a casual observer of college football compared to the NFL, but I don't know. I feel like college football is trying to be the NFL, and I would imagine a lot of college football fans out there do not like this. So to stand up for them, I do not recognize this national title.
Well, like, think about how differently, like, things could be, you know, right now for Ohio State University if there's not a 12-team playoff. Is Ryan Day the head coach at Ohio State if it's a 14-team playoff?
Great question.
Does he get fired after losing to Michigan if they miss the 14 playoff?
Like, and not playing the Big Ten championship?
Yeah,
right.
Like, I think the answer to that is yes. Like he's gone from fired to going to get a new contract and be the highest paid coach in college football. Marcus Freeman lost to Northern Illinois, and, you know, his record going into the, you know, into the playoffs was a coach that lost to Northern Illinois, Marshall, and Stanford. And now it's a huge, massive contract and being, you know, having agents and NFL sources say that NFL teams want to talk to him. Like, it's totally changed the dynamic of everything about college football. And I'm kind of the opposite of you. Like, college football is honestly, like, it's my main love. And maybe it's because of what being a Bears fan growing up was, but, like, even though, like, being a Notre Dame fan, like, hasn't been that much better, honestly. Like, I mean, last night I was miserable through half that game. Like, I thought Notre Dame was going to lose by 40. The betting line at halftime was 20.5 for Ohio State. Like, that was the line. Was like, that's crazy. So it's I do like what college football has, you know, is pivoting towards, because even though, like, I hear you and I'm with you on a lot of, like, what the title game means now, I do think that the transfer portal and NIL is going to lead to more parity overall. And if there's going to be more parity in the regular season and the whole sport is going to balance out, I do think an expanded playoff is a little bit better overall. Because I kind of hated the idea at the same time of like one loss to, you know, if let's say Notre Dame would have lost to Texas A&M, that was their loss, not the NIU loss. Like, that's the loss that keeps you out of a 14 playoff. I kind of hated that. So I think they went too far with 12, but there's no going back now. They're only going to go forward.
You're right about that, and I suppose that I just have to adjust and suck it up, Buttercup. But
it'll take time.
I don't want to. I just don't want to suck it up, Buttercup. I want this to go back to the way that it was, and I'm going to shake my fist, and I'm not going to recognize a team that lost to its arch rival, the defending national champions. I'm just not recognizing that national championship that they just won. You can call me a hater all you want, but guess what? Guess what? If the Astros title has an asterisk, this has a bigger asterisk. 100%.
I'm fine with that.
Right. See? So I'm gonna use that to kind of pander and get some people on my side, okay?
Will your tone change when the ACC gives their champion a bye and Syracuse is the 2 seed? In the ACC.
Well, it's different for Syracuse because Syracuse isn't good. So, like, yes, I'm going to make it. I'm 100% going to move the goalpost for Syracuse. Fully admit that. And you can play this audio. And I'll even be cool with it. I will move the goalpost for my crap school. Yeah. Ohio State is not a crap school.
Syracuse needs the handout, is what
yes,
you're saying.
Yes, we need the handout. We're poor. Ohio State didn't deserve this other opportunity. So to what you were saying, right, there's parity, and it's good for the other schools to have this chance at parity. But this was my big frustration. I was talking with my buddies about this. You said, no, this is going to be good. I was like, ultimately, one of the teams that always wins it every single year is going to get a chance again after they screw up. And I don't know. I think a fun part of college football is to root for the powerhouses to screw it up on the occasional Saturday for a Vanderbilt to beat Alabama. Like that kept them out, and it should have kept them out. But they also had other losses, and one of those should be enough. But as you bring up, Notre Dame makes it. They lost to Northern Illinois. Ohio State loses to Oregon, loses to Michigan. They make it, and okay, they got through the gauntlet. They won the tournament, all that stuff. They got a little help from Marcus Freeman. I don't know what he was doing, down multiple scores, kicking a field goal. Amazingly, Notre Dame still almost clawed their way back into that game, Joe. I imagine that drove you a little bit crazy.
Yeah, I hate the field goal call. You're down by 16. You're going to try to score 3 touchdowns, 3 2-point conversions to make up for the field goal possession. It's how you're supposed to play it. I know Riley Leonard he's not a great quarterback, obviously. He had some really good throws last night. Jaden Greathouse was incredible, their young wide receiver from Westlake up in Austin. But, like, you got to throw the ball on 4th and 9. Like, what's the point? What's the point of kicking the field goal? You're still down 2 scores. Like you're still down. Like, the math says it's a stupid decision. That I hated the fake punt, even though Faison should have caught it. Like, it was clearly in his hands. And, like, I guess Ohio State was the only people on the planet that didn't realize Notre Dame's backup quarterback was the up man in the punt formation. But, like, I hated both those calls. It's not why they lost the game, but it did show, I think, for at least for last night's game, that, you know, Marcus Freeman, it's you got to go through these bumps and bruises as a coach. Like, Ryan Day's gone through them, and he has an incredible offensive coordinator and maybe the best player in the country on his team, and that was just too much for Notre Dame in the end. But I'll tell you, I thought before the field goal, after the fumble, I thought Notre Dame was going to win.
You did?
I thought they were going to win.
Like, oh, no.
When they punched that ball out, I was like, this is it. And then they're driving down the field, and I'm like, they're right there. And then, ugh.
I feel for you because I feel like all your teams do this to you too, with not only like kicking the field goal there, but also missing the field goal there.
No, it's just missing, Paul. It's the goddamn doink.
It was a great doink.
Like, it's the doink. The doink is the problem.
Only one.
You're right. Only one doink. Only one doink. But you know what? It's so sad. Like, it's so weird because it's like, I hope college football never becomes what college basketball is. Where, like, it's baked into the culture of college basketball that getting to a Final Four is an incredible accomplishment, because it is. It's a huge tournament. I do hope we never get that with college football, because like Notre Dame fans should be happy that they got to the national championship game, but they shouldn't feel like everything is a ultimate success because you didn't win it. Like that's the only thing I hope for college football. It's like winning the title game still has to be what matters most. Like, yes, you got through a gauntlet. You beat Indiana, Georgia, and Penn State to get there, but you still fell short. So, like, while I'm happy they got there, it's honestly only raised my expectations much higher for Notre Dame going forward.
I love it. Notre Dame's back. How about that?
I think they're back. I think they're back.
A couple of comments here on Twitch. HRW713 says, us Catholics need to tithe more to keep Notre Dame competitive. I understood that reference. Gotta say, you know, I imagine a lot of the Catholic folks out there who root for Notre Dame because of their faith, which there are, believe it or not, a surprising amount. I imagine you were like, where was the Inquisition that we had? Where was the aggressiveness that we had during the Inquisition? You know, like, where was that? We were very aggressive back in the 1500s.
Yeah.
Where's the aggression in this moment in time? All right. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean Mapes at Mission Control. Joe and Paul, we two are doing the shows from home. We hope you're being safe. If you're out on the road, drive slow. You guys do not understand how dangerous it is to drive out there. You could join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 975. I just noticed that there's no clock in my room, and then I looked at the clock on my phone, and I'm like, oh, it's 12:18. Dang. So let's just roll straight through. Yesterday was Houston Texans locker cleanout day, and I thought there were some interesting developments. If you take a listen to the way that D'Amico Ryans opened his press conference, I don't know how many people heard that, but I thought it was very interesting that he began this bad boy by immediately putting out a statement about what he plans to do next. Sean, sorry to put you on the spot here. This is the Texans head coach to open up yesterday's end of the season press conference.
Good afternoon. First, I would just like to start. I know there will be a lot of questions about, you know, staffing players and all those things. I just want to let you guys know that I'll take the week to make those decisions on staffing and all those things. So before everybody gets started, just want to let you guys know that.
He says that right away. And, I mean, naturally, we're all wondering if he's already made those decisions. Is he really taking a week to make those decisions, Joe? Because there are clearly at least two people who are in the crosshairs right now. First off, offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick, at least in the eyes of every single Houston Texans fan, and offensive line coach Chris Strausser. Before we get to the news of Strausser, did you find it interesting that that's how they opened up the presser?
Yeah, because it's clearly he didn't want to be asked 15 questions about it. He didn't want to be asked specifically about Strausser and Slowick and who would replace these guys, and internal candidates, and losing candidates, and losing guys from your staff. Like, he just wanted to put it all to bed and have no interest in being confronted with questions about what was going to happen to his staff. So, a very interesting way, because I definitely think he already knew, especially based on like what we learned from specifically like Aaron Wilson and Jonathan Alexander later on, which I know we're going to get to here in a second. But
yeah,
like, the fact that all the reports already leaked about who's out, who's, you know, could be out, D'Amico, what he's thinking about. Like, he already knew going in. And he's probably known for weeks and weeks and weeks the decisions he was going to make.
And that's good, because if you've listened to D'Amico Ryans talking about the Texans offense for a lot of this season, he will regularly bring up that he feels they're improving. And perhaps that's just him being positive, talking with us, where behind the scenes, or at least in his mind, he feels differently. So it was noteworthy that later on in the press conference, D'Amico was asked about Bobby Slowick, just straight up. And, all right, you're going to get a long answer about Bobby Slowick, talking about all the things he did this year. Here's Texans head coach D'Amico Ryans.
How you feel Bobby Slowick did in year two as a play caller?
I think overall with Bobby, I saw some growth, saw some improvement throughout the year.
That's it. That's it. Is Bobby Slowick a dead man walking based off of that audio? 713-780-3776.
I think the answer is yes. How many press conferences have we listened to and audio clips have we listened to this year from D'Amico Ryans and last year? Hundreds? 1,000? 2,000? And almost all of them are these long, drawn-out answers that tell you no information, that tell you nothing of interest, and then that's the answer he gives about Bobby Slowik? Like, if it's not the nail in the coffin, it is a coach that is on the hottest of hot seats going into next season. And if he stays and they do not start well in the first four games, he will be fired. Like, I am confident in. He will not make it to week five of next year.
Do you think they fire him in this? I don't know, man. I don't think if he's back for next year, I doubt that they're going to fire him in the middle of the year because that would create a really bad situation. I understand, like, hey, if they start 0-5 or something like that, yeah, they take him out back like he's Bill O'Brien. But I don't know. If he's there next year, I don't think that they would pull the trigger in the middle of the year. But he did say a lot by saying very little there about Bobby Slowik. And by the way, note the reception that that's getting across the city. Most people are very happy that D'Amico handled that question that way. And I'll be honest, I am. Because it felt, at times, like this isn't something they're looking at in the mirror and realizing, wait, we're underachieving. We're a disappointment. We got a little fat. We got a muffin top. Based off of where we were last year, we had the summer bod. Right now, what's this?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's... Think about what D'Amico's been telling us all year, Paul. Like, improvement, getting better each week.
Mm-hmm.
When did the offense do any of that? Like, the entire year, he's talked about having to get better and having to do all these different things. And the offense never did it. So, it always kind of felt illogical that he would just be, like, happy with Bobby Slowik's performance this year. I mean, even to say, like, he saw improvement there in that very, very short soundbite, it surprises me. Because it was so short. Like, you'd feel like if you're going to talk about someone's, like, growth and improvement, you would give a much longer answer. But, yeah, I my gut tells me right now that within, you know, the next 4 days that Bobby Slowik will not be the offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans, based on that answer.
And that's interesting. I see a couple of people, HRW on the Twitch says, hopefully he gets a head coaching job. Oh, no, I don't think that's going to happen. You know, the Jets have just interviewed a million people, but interviewing Bobby Slowik does not necessarily mean they're hiring him. Honestly, they might have interviewed Bobby Slowik to say, so say we do actually stumble into the correct quarterback in this year's draft. Let's listen to this guy, what he thinks about the development of a quarterback in year two, so that we know what not to do this time around, seeing as we have butchered the development of every effing quarterback we've had over the last our entire existence.
Yeah, or like, I don't know, maybe be, because it sure seems like Aaron Glenn's going to be the head coach of the Jets. Like, maybe.
That's the right move, by the way, if the Jets hire him.
Totally the right move. A little offensive coordinator interview in case Bobby Slowik gets fired. Like, could be a candidate to be the Jets OC, potentially. He's not going to be a head coach. Not even. There's a reason why one team interviewed him, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm with you. We'll see what happens. There's more stuff that happened at Texans locker room cleanout day. We hope that you're staying warm in the cold. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to chime in, you can on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. So that's on the table. We've got some Astros updates to get to. The Dodgers are continuing to do Dodgers stuff, and everyone's losing their mind about that. Hell, we might even try to sportsify what went down yesterday in our nation's capital. Let's have some fun. It's Gallant and George in the snow. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul and Joe.
It's really funny seeing of the videos getting posted of Snowpocalypse online. I just saw this from Jennifer Reyna over at KHOU. Someone stopped in the middle of the highway, got out of their car, and they took a picture.
They're just people, and there's not just one.
That's crazy.
There's multiple people in the middle of the highway that are stopping their car, getting out of it to take pictures. Unbelievable. You guys, don't
I wish I could say I was surprised. Have you ever, when's the last time you went to the Kima Boardwalk?
I've never been, actually.
Okay, so on the way there now, there's a new bridge to, like, go over to help with traffic. Over the summer, for the 4th of July, we did not make it to fireworks. Little guy had a tantrum. We had to leave early. So we got out of there. And we're looking at the bridge. And I'm like, oh, we're screwed. Like, we're never getting home because there's just lights all the way up this bridge. We get up there, and what it is, Paul, is there was people lined up across the entire bridge, pulled off on the side of the road, watching the fireworks on the 4th of July. So, like, people taking pictures in the snow on the middle of the highway doesn't surprise me.
That's kind of understandable still. Look, if a lot of people are doing it, then it's easy.
Yes.
But this is, okay, if you're driving on this, I don't know how many people have driven in the snow before. Driving in the snow, especially when there's a little bit in a city that does not have plows and does not have salt, bleep hits the fan pretty quickly, and you don't really know what you're doing. And I say this as someone who hasn't driven in the snow that much. I grew up in Massachusetts, but I went to high school in Florida. I learned to drive in Florida. May not have actually even passed my original driver's license test. I'm pretty sure that they added up the score wrong in what is a very Florida move, because I couldn't figure out what they were talking about when they said make a K turn. So I made a K. I was like, what does that mean? I don't know. It's a three-point turn. They should have just said three-point turn. Whatever. It's fine. People driving through this right now, if you go too fast, you will be surprised by the spin-outy nature of a car on ice. And as someone who has actually spun in a 360 on the highway, not in snow, the one time just driving to Austin on some of those overpasses, I'm saying be careful. This is Paulie's PSA here. Don't pull over on the side of the road to take pictures in the highway, you psycho. Yeah.
Crazy idea. I would never even consider doing that in my wildest dreams, saying I'm going to stop on the highway to take a photo.
Nuts.
Would never do it. Never.
Smartphones are the worst thing that's ever happened to us as a society.
Take it as you drive.
As a people. Don't do that either, but that's slightly better. That's slightly better. Sean's like, I don't know about that back in Michigan.
I guess it's better. It's not good.
CJ Stroud, quarterback of the Houston Texans. Does he seem to feel the same way that we believe DeMeco Ryans feels about the future of the Texans coaching staff and the future of offensive coordinator Bobby Slowik? This is C.J. Stroud when asked about Bobby Slowik's future at yesterday's end-of-season press conference.
Yeah, I think he did, you know, he did great. You know, I think he, as time went on, you know, he got better and better and better and, you know, was learning from, you know, his past and what he did in San Fran, learning from what he's done on the defensive side and, you know, putting to his own scheme, you know. So I definitely think, you know, that, you know, he has a lot of success coming his way and, you know, I've been – honored to, you know, have it with them and hopefully, you know, keep it going. So, you know, I'm, you know, definitely, you know, on Bobby's side and appreciate him for, you know, all the things he's taught me and, you know, how great he's been, you know, in my career so far.
He said better and better and better. Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting observation, CJ.
Yeah, don't necessarily agree with that one about better, better, and better. It is – he's on Bobby's side. That feels like an endorsement, right?
It is an endorsement, I think. Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
That is.
I mean, it's not like the, you know, big old, it's not like a massive one. It's not like, you know, stand on top of a mountain and screaming that how much you love Bobby Slowik, but it's an endorsement that he's team Bobby Slowik, and which is interesting because if there's dissension amongst Bobby Slowik, you know, his job status between DeMeco and CJ, I don't know whose side you choose if you're the McNair family. That's tough. It puts you in a tough spot. Because think about, like, who it's like, I hate to be super, super negative about this, but when you think about CJ Stroud and who his agent is, it's David Mulugeta. And what has he done anywhere he's ever gone? He's flexed, you know, Jalen Ramsey, out of Jacksonville, obviously Deshaun Watson. Like, it's just what he does. And that's why, you know, having, you know, Derek Stingley Jr. be represented by him, it's important to get his contract ironed out. But the tipping point for Deshaun Watson was the hiring of Nick Caserio and him not being involved. So the Texans have to, like, they do have to delicately balance this, where you at least have to keep CJ in the loop at all times, I think, of what's going on. I don't think he has to have the final say, but if he's not going to have a big say, I think you also have to just tell him that. Like, this, DeMeco, I say, this is my decision. I'm the head coach. Nick Caserio is the GM. We will take your input, but this is our decision about what's happened. You can't do the middle ground like the Texans tried before, where they told Deshaun Watson that you're going to have input on who the GM is and then didn't give him any.
That might be the good thing, is that you've been through this before in a way, and ownership has learned, no, we're not going to allow the quarterback have all the say. When you let one player have all the say in an organization, it does get very messy. The Jets are finding that out the hard way with Aaron Rodgers and how the last couple of years have gone. The Rockets found that out the hard way with James Harden. It almost never works when you bend over backwards to the whims of one player, because here's the big problem for those guys. Generally, they don't have a clue, or they don't have as much of a clue as they think they do. But it was interesting to hear what DeMeco Ryans said about Bobby Slowick. Very short answer when asked about him this year, where there's C.J. Stroud endorsing him. This is another question that was asked right after that answer you just heard from C.J. Stroud. This is some very leading this is a very leading question, in my opinion. I don't know why it was asked this way. I don't know who asked it, but listen to the question, then you'll hear CJ's answer.
To that point, not every quarterback has an opportunity to come in the league and have some stability at the offensive coordinator position. Yeah. How much did that help going into year two and potentially for year three? What do you feel like things can be unlocked by just having 3 years with the same guy in the same system?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how people can bounce from coordinator to coordinator. I know that I can't imagine, you know, it's probably really tough, you know, so I definitely don't recommend that, you know. I definitely think you can find a rapport with a guy and, you know, build that, you know, do it to the best of your ability. And, you know, yeah, it would be great, you know, to have 3 years with that same scheme, you know, that same type of, you know, X's and O's and things like that would be great. So, yeah.
The way that question was asked was weird to me. I think I get what that reporter was trying to do, and he might have gotten tongue-twisted while asking it, but it almost felt like, yeah, wouldn't it be good to have a guy for a third straight year as your offensive coordinator?
Yeah, it's almost like he was asking the question to use CJ's answer in a piece about, like, Caleb Williams. Like or different, you know, for Drake May, like guys who are rookie quarterbacks who are going to year two. Like, it's almost like it sounded like it wasn't for CJ. I mean, now CJ's right, and look, this is the flaws of hiring a defensive head coach, is your quarterback is likely going to change schemes. And in a perfect world, what would have happened, or what still, I guess, could technically happen for the Texans, is that Bobby Slowick would at some point would move on his own willingness because of how good the offense was. And you would replace him and keep the exact same scheme. So even though the coach changes, the scheme doesn't change. Now, you can still, like, if you, like, DeMeco, if he is a believer in the Shanahan scheme, he can go hire someone to replace Bobby Slowick and run the same scheme. He can put Gerard Johnson in place and run the same scheme. It doesn't have to be the same coach. It can be the same system with just some probably different language, and that should be fine. But, yeah, it's... That was it. I don't think CJ really knew how to answer the question either, Paul, like, because the way it was asked. So that's why it was a weird one.
It does, though, if you listen to those two answers, seem like Stroud wants Slowick back next year. And that will, as you said a moment ago, Joe, be an interesting decision that I imagine ownership does have the final say on. That DeMeco Ryans, though, should have the most say on. And I'm curious what Nick Caserio's role would be in that. I imagine he would have some input on that too. The reality is the offense did not improve this year, and I mean, there's a lot of folks you can point at. You could point at the offensive line coach Chris Strauser, who is reportedly considering retiring. Yeah, might be time, dude. Might be time. Hate to be mean, but oof. This was a rough year. If you think it's time to go, if you think your message isn't being reached for whatever reason, might be time to hang up the headset.
Yes, But I also hate the idea of promoting Cole Popovich, as it was suggested by Aaron Wilson, that he could just be promoted. Because, like, he's on the staff. He couldn't help fix the problems.
Other offensive line coach, for those who don't know. And he's also related to Greg Popovich. Yes.
Yeah, he's his son. Which
that is wild.
Yes. But, like, is he going, like, full, like, Littlefinger here and telling D'Amico that, like, Strouser's the problem? I can fix this offensive line. Like, why would you promote someone internally? Frankly, I think that goes for the people that are pro Gerard Johnson as well. Like, if things are so bad with your offense and your offensive line, why would you think an internal candidate is your solution when they're on the staff, and if you don't have a working environment where they can help contribute to it being better, I wouldn't have any faith that they're going to improve. If the Texans promote Popovich into the offensive line role, like, yeah, I don't know anything about offensive line play or coaching, nor do I care to take the time to try to pretend like I do, but I don't believe it's going to get better. Like, I can have that opinion. Like, I don't believe it's going to get better with the same, staff in place. It doesn't make any sense.
It's insane. The idea that you would bring that element of this coaching staff back, that is nonsensical to me. You could perhaps convince me on Bobby Slowick. Probably not. But the offensive line side of things, it's got to be gone. It's got to go. And Shooter McGavin's, shout out to Shooter McGavin, a longtime listener, points out on YouTube, CJ is going to give the 100% professional answer no matter what, but it was apparent throughout the season that he was frustrated. They need to upgrade the guards, center, and a receiver, and they're a solid pick to make a deep run next year. I mean, that's a lot. And the one thing you can control is the coaching staff. It needs to improve on the offensive line side of things.
Yeah, it's definitely, and I do agree. Like, I don't expect CJ to ever be the guy to drive a bus over someone and say that they're terrible at their job. Whether it's, I mean, hell, even the answer he gave about the refs was like a very nice way to say it. Like, they're just doing their job and doing the best they can. Like, it was a very political answer from CJ about the terrible referees from this weekend. So he's never going to blast someone. So he could be totally saying something totally different behind the scenes. But based on everything we've kind of read over the last 24 hours, it feels like he is, and what we've heard, he's pro Bobby Slowick being here. And yeah. It's really interesting to see, like, there's such mixed messages now coming from the short answer, the idea that his future is in doubt, and then CJ being so positive about it. It's all a little different, and it feels like we're in for a stunning decision either way, is the way I would put it.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean's back at Mission Control. Snowpocalypse 2025! Have a sound, guys. I have a soundboard. Do you want me to just play, like, stupid, annoying sound effects all the time? I got another
Sean,
one for
be ready
you.
By the dump button.
I got No, don't worry. I got another one for you. Thank you, Clay Walker. You want to hear another one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Paul, stop talking. Listen.
That's Texans legend Wade Smith telling me to shut up once. That was fun. Anyway, he is Joe. I am Paul. It's Galata George. Stay put.
Oh, let's talk about O Athletic. They're closed today. Like, most businesses are closed today. They'll be back open hopefully tomorrow. We're waiting to find out officially, see how bad everything ices over. But look, 2025 is here, and it is time to get back into the gym. Whether you want to lose weight, put on muscle mass, just lean out for the summer and get fit for 2025, O Athletic is the best place to do it. They offer over 100 classes per week. You can sign up for a personal trainer, all of that available at O Athletic. Check them out, oathletic.com, O Athletic on Instagram, and at 767 North Shepherd in the Heights.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Interesting text from our offensive line conversation in the last segment from the 281. Doesn't every team have a bad O-line except for like two? It's kind of interesting because none of us, outside of the real film grinders, honestly could answer that, and you're going to have to study a lot of film to determine who's good and who isn't. But
when you look at the Texans' offensive line and you see the historic numbers from the game against the Chiefs where C.J. Stroud was the second most pressured quarterback since they started measuring QB pressures, and when you notice that he's been sacked eight times twice this year, twice since Halloween, you know that this is one of the worst ones out there. And I think that it really showed in that. This year's C.J. Stroud versus last year's C.J. Stroud, it seemed to be a stark difference, which is crazy because this year's offensive line was relatively healthy compared to last.
Yeah, and was just worse. Like, Shaq Mason took a huge step backwards. Titus Howard at left guard for most of the last season with George Fant at right tackle was better off than what you had most this year because Kenyon Green was at left guard for, like, what, half the season? Yeah, it's like it should have been better. It's part of the reason why we all thought the Texans were going to be even better this year was, like, based on the offensive line just being healthy and the investments and the resources that Nick Caserio put into it. And, yeah, I totally agree with the texter. Like, it does feel like a majority of the offensive lines are – like, there's two great offensive lines. Like, we always know the Chiefs, the Eagles have a great offensive line. And there are quarterbacks that definitely more easily make up for bad offensive line play. I mean, we saw at times Deshaun Watson would do that here in Houston when things are bad. But we see Lamar and Josh Allen, like, they can do a lot with a little. CJ's not that guy all the time. Like, he doesn't take off until the playoffs, apparently. But, like, look at Detroit this year. Detroit, Jared Goff is a statue back there. He can't move in the pocket, and he's well protected most of the season. And it's not just an offensive line; it's also your play calling. Like, there are hot routes, there are easy passes, there are ways to get out of pressure. I just think the Texans' offensive line, even if we know it's not, like, don't know exactly where it ranks, I know it's bad. I know it's
got to be. It's got to be towards the bottom. That's all you need. That's all the Texans should realize. And it is very convenient that their offensive line coach seems to be about to retire. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean back at Mission Control. We're getting closer and closer and closer to Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach. 22 days away. Countdown time. Give me that bone.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
My guy Nate Griffin from Fox 26 ran into Joe Espada in a parking lot?
Yeah.
Nate's doing some TMZ stuff, some paparazzi stuff. I don't know. That's at least the impression I got from seeing this video online. It got reposted by Will Kunkel over at Fox. Here is what Joe Espada, manager of your Houston Astros, had to say when asked about Alex Bregman, who is still a free agent, by the way.
Not Alex Bregman right
now. Well, he has not signed with anyone, right? So, we here still, you know, open. Our arms are still open. The door's still open. There's always a chance, right? But right now, we are still in conversations with not only him, but with other free agent players. So we'll see. We'll see.
With arms wide open. Alex Bregman still available to sign. The Red Sox don't want him that badly because they're poor. John Henry sucks. Keep your hands off the Celtics, you son of a bitch. Sorry, I made that about me a little bit. Okay. So their arms are wide open for Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
Okay. That's nice. Maybe there's a sliver of a chance.
Okay, so, like, the first time I heard that audio, I stopped playing it because, like, this is stupid. So that's the first time I've heard him say they're still talking to him.
Same. Like,
they're still talking to him? Like is Jose Altuve or Isak Paredes playing in left field next year? Is that what they're talking? Is Jordan just your everyday left fielder and Isak Paredes is your DH?
I'm cool with that.
Or Altuve is your DH? Like,
let's manifest this.
do it. Like, you know, honestly, screw it. Like, just do it. Like, figure it out. Get to spring training. We got how many days now? What would you say? It was like 27?
22.
Whatever it was. 22? 22 days. Figure it out. You put Altuve in left. You put Paredes in left. You put Bregman in left. And you figure it out. And just bring him back.
What about 1 year, $40 million? Can you do
fine.
That? Fine. I mean, you know, he's still a free agent next year. Maybe the market heats up for him. Obviously, he wants the long-term deal. But why not try to do a super heavy short-term deal? If he's back going into next year, I feel like they got a chance to win the World Series. I don't feel that way right now because I look at that outfield and good God almighty. But, yeah, if you get to move Paredes into left field, I don't know if you're going to move Altuve into left field. That would be something else, huh? They move Bregman over to second and Paredes plays third. That would be all sorts of just juggling going on there. But
could you put Peña in center? Like, I don't know.
Maybe.
Like, could Bregman go back people? To like could Bregman go back to shortstop like he played at LSU? Like, I don't know. Like, I love the idea of just like screw it and figure it out. Like,
yeah.
If he wants to come back for $35 million, $40 million for a year, then just like just go for it and just tell Joe Spada and just figure it out later. Because you know what, Paul? They can't win the World Series next year. They cannot. The Dodgers are going to win the next three World Series. Maybe they have a chance if Alex Bregman's on this team.
Without him, Waddle Bill. Bring it back.
Play left field.
That's not bad. Go down to left field because all our outfielders blow without Waddle Bill.
You just got to catch it, Alex.
Yeah.
You can catch pop-ups.
I think he could do that. Honestly, Bregman needs to stay at third because Bregman's a great third baseman, which...
Yeah.
Like, he's a great fielder. Altuve, I can understand moving him from second base. Altuve's not really that good of a fielder anymore.
No. I mean, realistically, like... You're opening up the door to a lot of injuries, but it might be worth the risk just to say Yordan Alvarez is our everyday left fielder.
Oh.
And... Alex Bregman or in Isak Paredes is your DH.
How many times will Yordan tear his hamstring if he's in left field?
Yeah, but for like the 90 games he's out there, it'll be awesome. As long as he's out there, if he's on the roster for the playoffs, like that's great. I mean,
I know what's going to happen, Joe. He's going to slide for a catch and his cleat's going to get caught in the turf. And yeah, leg discomfort.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah,
like a broken, like three bones, a compound fracture, the bones sticking out. Astros leg discomfort.
Come on, going full Kevin Ware on me, the Louisville player.
They don't know which leg is broken.
Yeah, it's like, wait, what about the one with the bone sticking out of his skin? You morons!
They're checking his arm.
Yeah. Oh, does he have a concussion? What's going on here? He's bleeding all over the grass.
Standing him up to walk him off the field.
Yeah, shake it off, Yordan. Here's some smelling salts for the concussion.
You saw Ryan Leonard on that first drive. Suck it up. Come on.
Yeah, he just puked his guts out. You're fine. Yeah, I don't think they fired the athletic training staff like we had hoped for, by the way.
No, they haven't. They haven't.
Yeah, unless it's like been quietly done.
At least they're paying them instead of Alex Bregman. God.
Hopefully they're not paying them much. They suck at their jobs.
Yeah, they're not great. He's Joe Paul.
Yeah, sign Bregman.
Sign Bregman. I like that the arms are wide open. Sean back at Mission Control. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. Everything's on the table right now. If you want to talk about Texans locker room cleanout day, you can. Something interesting was said by someone not named C.J. Stroud or D'Amico Ryans, and it does make me wonder about a possibility for the Texans this offseason. You'll hear what we're talking about next. Stay put, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.